beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the guilt of my sin.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness.
By them I have continually offended you, and verily
people whom you have redeemed.
You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode.
You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain.
The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode.
The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
Thank you. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have now overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away from all faces the tears and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in this salvation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one ultimately born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles. I am unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Sunday dawn. Very early on Sunday morning, just at dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the grave with spices to embalm Jesus' corpse. On the way, they were asking each other,
"Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?"
The stone was very large, but suddenly there was a powerful earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat down on it. His face was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. The guards were so terrified, they shook and fell like dead men. The women arrived at the grave just as the sun was rising, and they looked and saw that the stone was rolled away. Mary Magdalene ran to tell Peter and John. The other women went into the tomb, but they did not find the body. As they stood there confused, suddenly two men in shining white clothes were standing beside them, saying, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you he must be crucified and on the third day rise again." They were terrified. Then a young man sitting to the right in long white robes told them, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Come, look at the place where he lay. Now quickly go tell his disciples that he is going on to Galilee. They will see him there." The women hurried out of the tomb and ran from the grave, filled with fear and joy. When Mary came to Peter and John, she told them,
"They've taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him."
They left for the grave. And John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Peter, who went straight into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head, not with the others, but folded up by itself. Then John went in too, and saw and believed it. They still did not understand the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back, but Mary stood crying outside the grave, sobbing. She bent down and looked in, and saw two angels in white, sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet, who asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?"
"They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him,"
she answered. Then she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize who it was. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She took him for the gardener and said,
"Please, sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll go again."
Mary.
Master.
Easter morning. Jesus told Mary Magdalene, "Stop clinging to me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet. But go to my brothers and tell them, I will ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." She went and announced to the disciples,
"I have seen the Lord,"
and what he had told her. The other women who had fled from the tomb said nothing to anyone on the way, because they were afraid. When suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Rejoice!" They came to him and grasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Go, take word to my brothers to leave for Galilee. They'll see me there." So they went and reported all this to the 11 and all the others. But though Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, James' mother, and the women with them told them all these things, their words seemed to the apostles to be nonsense, and they would not believe them. And two disciples left that very day for Emmaus, a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Talking with each other about everything that had happened when Jesus himself approached and started walking with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What's this you're discussing as you walk?" They stopped, downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, answered him,
"Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that are
What things?
The things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet with powerful words and signs in the sight of God and all people. And the chief priests and the rulers of our people delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Besides that, it's 3 days now since it happened, and some of our women have astonished us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't find his body, they came back telling us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women said, but they didn't see him."
How foolish you are! How slow your hearts to believe everything the prophets have said! Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah, the Christ, to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them everything about himself in all the scriptures. When they reached Emmaus, he acted as though he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying,
"Stay with us.
When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other,
"Weren't our hearts burning inside us while he walked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?"
They got up immediately and returned to Jerusalem, where they found the others gathered together at the table and saying,
"The Lord has risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon."
Then the two started to tell what had happened on the road and how Jesus had revealed himself to them in the breaking of the bread.
Amen.
evening. While they were still talking, though the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus himself came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. So Jesus said, "Why are you upset? Why do doubts arise in your minds? See my hands and feet. It's I, myself. Touch me and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, but as you see, I do." And he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him. And when they still couldn't believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in front of them and said, "This is just what I told you while I was still with you. Everything about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and told them, "This is what is written, that the Messiah should suffer and rise from death on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses to it." Then once more he told them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever's sins you forgive are forgiven. Whoever's sins you retain are retained. Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You may be seated. What a glorious Easter Sunday it is, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. But it didn't start with the joy of Easter. It started with Mary Magdalene and the other women going to the tomb. How many times had Mary Magdalene and the women with her been through this before? How many times had they tenderly cared for the dead body of a loved one, a grandparent, father or mother, a sister or brother, a husband, child, or friend? This wasn't their first, and it wouldn't be their last. And no one had to give them instructions about what to do. They'd done it before. They knew how to take care of their dead. What customs did they have to show respect and honor for the body of the one they loved? They washed it. They prepared it with spices. They wrapped it in linen cloths. And they laid it in the grave. They'd begun doing all of this on Friday afternoon, but I wonder if it took them longer than usual because of the condition of the body, mangled, bruised and torn, caked with spit, sweat, and blood, pierced from crown to heel, crucified. As the setting sun ushered in the Sabbath, their preparations were cut short. Death doesn't follow a calendar. You know this. Death doesn't care about convenience. Death doesn't pay attention to what else is happening. So they did what they could on Friday, and then they spent the seventh day, Saturday, resting and waiting. Even in their grief, they kept the day holy. They had a plan, and this was their plan. On the first day of the week, on Sunday, as the sun was rising, they'd return to the tomb and they'd finish what they started. Unwrap the body, apply more spices, wrap it again, and put it back in the tomb. And even that wasn't the end of it. In those days, they'd return again a year later to collect the bones, and they put them in a bone box, an ossuary, and there they'd stay. The prophet Isaiah, in the reading we heard, the first reading, described death as a covering cast over all people, a veil spread over all nations. He described death like a dark cloud hovering over the earth. It's a fog, a reality in which we all live. And I know that for many of us, death brings to mind particular people, names, faces, dates, cemeteries. How many funerals have you been to in the last year? How many times has death put a damper on your life, on your joy? As a congregation, I think today of John Meyer Jr., Nancy Kengis, Keith Otto, Karen Hamill. But I'll tell you what, too often we live as if death is the last word. Too often we live as if death has the final say. We let it invade our souls, darken our lives, infect us with despair. The women go to the tomb. They go downcast, heads hanging, thinking that Jesus had been the one who was going to redeem Israel and had failed. They're sad. They're disappointed. To their minds, death had won again. And who will roll the stone away? Did they feel the earthquake when it shook? Did they hear the angel come down and roll that stone away? They show up looking for death, and they go into the tomb, and what do they find? Nothing. The tomb is empty. Death has lost its grip. Where's the body? They're looking for him, They still don't understand. They run and tell others who come and find it just like they'd said. Mary's wandering around in the garden, and she meets a man who looks like a gardener. She asks him what he did with the body. Oh, is he ever a gardener? He's the first one who made a garden. And he's the one who's making a new garden for us as well. And all he has to do is say her name, Mary. And she knows. How many times has the grave been empty, never to be filled again? This is the first. But it will not be the last. I can tell you that for sure. Death has been undone. Already Christ has begun to unravel that thread until every tomb is empty and those who believe are raised with him. There have been hints of it before, of course, little pictures that should make us know that this was coming. The widow of Nain's son, they were on their way to the cemetery, headed out of town when they met Jesus, and he stopped them in their tracks, and he told that boy to rise. And he did. There's the centurion's servant, whom this Roman soldier loves. And when Jesus is about to come to his house, the centurion simply says, just stop right there. Say the word. I don't care how many miles away you are, because your word has authority to raise the dead. Jairus's daughter. Her parents are weeping. They've hired the professional mourners who are making a tremendous cry. And Jesus shows up and says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. He raises her and says, give her some food. And then perhaps greatest of all, his dear friend Lazarus, who died. And a day passed, and another day passed, and another day passed. And finally Jesus shows up. And his sisters say, if you'd only been here sooner, you could have healed him. And Jesus says, just roll the stone away. Lazarus, come out. And he does. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Death does not have a hold of him, and death does not hold those who belong to him. The women came to take care of his body. But what do they find? His body is alive. His body is there to take care of them. See my hands. See my side. It is I myself, Jesus says. They've come to anoint his body with spices, to wrap it in linen cloths. Jesus has come to fill them with the fragrance of God's grace and love, and to wrap them in the robe of his righteousness. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. And that makes all the difference to us, to our lives, not only on this day, but every single day. Jesus Christ is alive, never to die again. Death has no power over him, and death has no ultimate power over you. And if death's hold is lost, then that also means that our sins have been forgiven. Because the wages of sin is death. But when the wages have been paid, then life for you and for me. Why are we here this morning? Are we here simply because it's our custom on the first day of the week? Are we here simply because mom or dad or brother or sister or friend invited us? In fact, we are here because Jesus is alive. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We live as those who believe the resurrection. And that makes all the difference. How do we spend our days? I know what it's like. I know death is still a reality. I know we still have funerals and cemeteries and all of that. But because Jesus is risen, we live not in despair, but in hope. Because Jesus is risen, we live not simply in sadness, but in joy. Because Jesus is risen, we live not in anger or in hatred or in bitterness, but in love. Because he shows his love to us He gives himself to us. He forgives our sins, and he grants us a share of his own life and resurrection. How many times had they been to the grave? It didn't matter. How many times had death lost? Once, the beginning of death's final undoing. How many times will the grave be empty? That was not the last. We just said it in the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe in the resurrection of those who have died, not just Jesus, but all who have died, and of those who believe in him, a resurrection to life everlasting. I believe that he will raise me and you and all the dead and give eternal life to all who believe in Christ. This is the hope that we have. This is the truth on which we live. This is why we spend our Sunday morning here, singing his praise and rejoicing today and week after week after week that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he is alive, never to die again, and that he is the Lord who loves you, who serves you, and who claims you as his own. May our dear Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep us in the hope of the resurrection, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In our prayers, we will be praying for Carl and Karen Cecil as they mourn the death of Carl's mother, Alice. We also give thanks that Stan and Mary Lou Thompson returned safely home, and we pray for Stan's continued recovery. Let us pray to our risen Lord Jesus Christ. O Jesus Christ, Son of Righteousness, on this day fill us with holy fear at your resurrection, that we would no longer tremble before the grave, but rejoice in your power to save. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Prince of Life, by your word and sacraments, draw us to your side, repenting of our sins, abandoning the old life with all its malice and uncleanness, to walk with you in truth and holiness. Let your Spirit fill our minds with holy desires and our lives with good works,
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt in our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O King of Kings, we commit our country and all authorities. Give them wisdom and justice, and lead them to fear your holy name, so that they punish wickedness and defend the nation's peace, while your church grows and glorifies your grace. Guard those in the armed forces, all who serve in our police, and lead them to serve with integrity and honor. Protect the innocent around the world and bring an end to all war and strife. Watch over all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Shayla, Jillian, and baby Penny, and Liz. And receive our thanks for the safe delivery of twins Beckham and Briar to Chelsea. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O scarred Redeemer, look with compassion on all who are oppressed by injustice, all who are suffering for the truth, all who are attacked with temptations to sin, all who are sinking under the weight of disease, all who are close to despairing of your grace, all who are troubled by the fear of the grave, all who are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. In particular, we pray for Doug and Pam, Stan, Joan, Ellen, Linda, Diane, Donna, Amara, and Shelley, Marilyn, Al, Anne, Jared, and Donna, Agatha, Rosemarie, Rose, Tim, Emily, Nancy Jane, Kate, and John, as well as our homebound Anita, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Ed, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea. You are the expectation of glory. Live in every believer's soul, O Lord, and when you appear, may the testing of their faith bring you honor and praise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us joy in your great victory feast as you share it with us from this altar, in the eating of your true body and the drinking of your precious blood in faith. Overcome our sin by your forgiveness and swallow up our death in your life, that we may be glad and rejoice in your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of God and light of light, thanks be to you for victory over death. Comfort Carl and Karen and all who mourn with the promise that your love is an everlasting love, and that you will finally raise all your people from the dead. For you are the firstborn from the dead, and even now you bring our prayers in the Holy Spirit to your Father, one God in three persons, whom we adore now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today is Psalm 16, starting at the first verse. "You will not abandon your soul to Sheol, or let the Holy One see corruption. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom all is my delight. The sorrows of those who run after other gods shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, nor take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon your soul to Sheol, or let the Holy One see corruption. You make known the path of life. Your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall ever be, world without end. Amen. You will not abandon my soul, Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Dearest Lord Jesus, Master and Savior, Alpha and Omega, firstborn from the dead, thanks and praise and glory to you, O risen brother, living God. Lead us, and we will follow you to the cross, to the grave, and to the skies. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.